The final countdown is on until the polls open tomorrow morning across the Upper Cumberland, and you get the chance to make your vote heard in city, county, state, and some congressional races. Welcome to this final edition of Meet the Candidates. Today, our focus begins in the Tennessee Senate District 12 race. This is a Republican primary tomorrow featuring Ken Yeager and opponent Tina Hedrick. A lot of us can't imagine of running for office. So why did you want to do it?
Well, I guess I would have told you about 4 years ago you'd been crazy that I would run for office because I'm a retired nurse practitioner. I've never been in politics before. And it was during COVID when I saw that we were losing a lot of our rights and no one was standing up for us. And the mandates came along and my kids were getting mandated, and I just felt like it came out way too quick and wasn't studied enough. And I tried to get in touch with our senator, Mr. Yeager, and he was just no help, to tell the truth. He voted against religious exemptions in the workplace and things. And I just felt like we had nobody in Nashville that had our backs as we the people, that nobody would listen. And I just kind of got a fire lit in me and felt like I needed to do something.
As you've gone out and visited with people, how are they feeling right now about the state of Tennessee? The state of the state, I guess.
I think they're worried. I think they're ready for change. They're tired of career politicians. They feel like, you know, that the good old boy network isn't working anymore, that they, you know, kind of lose touch with we the people, and they're ready for change.
Are there specific things that they are unhappy about?
Well, they're real worried about illegal immigration. They're worried about we as Tennesseans having to pay for their education, food, lodging. You know, we should be put first. And they're very worried about education. That's a big thing. I feel like parental rights have to be protected at all costs, and they should be informed of what their children are being educated about. And I think we're just in a pivotal time that people are just worried away our state's going, because our state's turning blue, you know, with Memphis is blue, Nashville's blue, Knoxville's partially blue, Tri-Cities are partially blue, and Chattanooga's turning blue, and it's just encroaching on us. And I think people are just waking up to the fact that things may change if we don't change things now.
Yet there also seems to be a feeling that legislators are unhappy about mandates from Washington, but a lot of local residents are unhappy about mandates from Nashville. How do you come down on that? Education being one of the areas where a lot of people feel like, let the local counties decide what they want to do education-wise.
I totally agree. I feel like that parents should have choice, especially with our schools, because I think we have too much federal control in our schools, and that's part of what's wrong, all this mandated curriculum that they're wanting for the teachers to teach. And I think that parents should have a choice, but another thing is we've got to get out from under federal rule, because I support school choice, but not when it's federal dollars, because there's always strings attached. And I don't want them to ruin homeschools and private schools the way they ruined our county schools and our schools here in Tennessee. I feel like that we need like a sovereign state bill, the nullification bill passed, where that would give us more power to nullify some of the rules of the federal government, and that we could be more in control as Tennesseans over our schools, and like illegal immigration and health care and other things. I just think we've got too much federal control. It needs to go back to the states.
Are you a fan of vouchers?
I am if, like I said, if they don't put strings attached where homeschools have to teach certain curriculum. Also, if they're requiring vaccinations for homeschooled children, that's part of why they don't want to send them to, you know, regular schools. Some people are against vaccination, and I think that should be the parents' choice on that. As long as they're making an informed choice, that I feel that they should be the ones making the choice in their kids' education, and I think they ought to get a chance to have a choice.
Tina Hedrick is our guest. She's one of the candidates running in the upcoming election, wanting to represent District 12. She's running in the Republican primary. It has been a little noisy in Nashville the last couple of sessions. What do you bring to the table in terms of working together and in trying to get consensus on issues?
Well, you know, it depends on what the issue is. I think sometimes that we need to stand up for what we believe in, and sometimes consensus isn't always the best thing on some of those things like pro-life and Second Amendment rights. But then I think we can work together maybe on education, you know, illegal immigration. I would think that we should be able to work together on that. And I'm willing to listen. I like to listen to everybody's opinion on things. I don't like to make knee-jerk reactions. I want to make sure I understand all aspects of a situation before I make a decision on a bill or a particular legislation that comes through. And I would like to listen to all parties and see what their opinion is on it.
Your background in healthcare makes this, I think, an interesting question, and that is, can the state do more to support rural healthcare? We saw what happened in Fentress County. We've seen what's happened in Clay County in terms of that. Is there more the state can do?
I think so. I think that instead of having corporate medicine come in and take over, which happens a lot of times, I think the state could help out. I know Jellicoe is also hurting. Their hospital closed down, too. There's a real need in rural areas for medical care that they shouldn't have to, you know, travel so far, at least putting in some emergency. I think in Fentress County, UT did put in an emergency room there, which
Correct.
Helps a lot.
Correct.
And I think that should be done up at Jellicoe, too. They need something up there. They're hurting really bad. In Clay County also, we need some kind of at least emergency rooms, maybe even some quick care places that can at least triage people to see if they need to go to the hospital. And we do need some new hospitals. We do. And that would be employment for the area, too.
Final question, Tina, is you have the chance to have the platform for a moment. Why should people consider voting for you?
Well, I'm not a career politician. I am for term limits. I've cared for people for all my life. I've been in the medical field for over 40 years. And I'm doing this because I care about people. I'm not doing it for power or money. I really want to go up there and make a difference. I know I'm just one person, but I do want to go up there and try to make a difference to help people. And that's my main goal. I want to be the people's voice.
She is a candidate in the District 12 race for Tennessee Senate, the Republican primary set for August 1st, Tina Hedrick. Tina, thank you for the time today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate that.
Ken Yeager declined to participate in Meet the Candidates. Monterey has the potential for some of the biggest changes when we head to the polls on Thursday, with elections in Ward 1, 2, 3, and 4, also the race for Monterey mayor. Today, let's focus on Monterey Alderman Ward 4, where Charles Looper and Jamie Phillips go head-to-head. Charles, thanks for spending some time with us.
Well, I'm happy to do it.
You are seeking re-election. Why?
Yes. Oh, I've been in and out of politics for the last 60 years. I was on the county commission for 12 years and in and out there and in the city board, and I just enjoy politics. And I thought maybe this time I would not run again, but, you know, no, I enjoy this. And if I can do something to help the city of Monterey, I'll be glad to do it. And so that's why I stayed on. We're on the move right now more than we have been in the last 50 years. In the last 2 years, we have really, the downtown, which a lot of downtowns around the country have deteriorated. But ours right now, we are really booming on the downtown area, and I was surprised that happened. But we've opened already one or two restaurants and a venue, and we got three more restaurants coming up, and so we're on the move, and I just wanted to be there with that. I enjoy it.
It's not just the downtown because of the decisions that the aldermen have made in terms of growth. it seems as though, to at least me, that there's real potential to see more expansion around Interstate 40. Am I reading that right?
When we open the new sewer plant, which is going to be probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks, the new sewer plant will open. And when that happens, then we can expand on Highway 70 toward Cookeville, which we hadn't been able to do before because we didn't have sewer. But when we get the new sewer plant open, then we'll be able to extend the sewer line. Well, it's already there. It's just a matter of hooking it up down 70. And then there's a lot of property there that's really valuable property. So I think that's really going to expand the interstate area.
How do you deal with wanting some growth but still maintaining the unique charm that is Monterey?
Well, that's what we want to do. Our problem is that we don't have enough housing. We don't have enough property for sale to build houses, and then we don't have any rental property. So as far as keeping it like it is, it looks like it's going to be that way because we can't, at this point anyway, we haven't been able to expand the housing and the rental property.
When you talk to people, Charles, and they ask you, you know, what are the things you stand for, what are they saying to you? What are the things that are of concern to them?
Well, right now, it's the rental property. We have a lot of people that would like to move back, but we don't have the property, the rental property. And the housing, there's not very many places to build houses right close to the city anyway. Now, of course, Cumberland Cove is very popular right now. They're selling houses right and left out there, and property also, for people moving in from California and Florida and everywhere. But again, that's 10 miles out or 8 miles out or whatever. But it's really expanding out there. And part of that's in Putnam County, and part of it is in Cumberland County. Of course, the people there can't vote in the city anyway. But they contribute a lot to the city, the Cumberland Cove people do, because they trade there and then they go to churches there and so forth. So we do get a lot of those people.
Charles Looper, what role does tourism play in Monterey's future?
It's really coming on because of the new park and B-Rock. It's being really promoted. And that new park with the kayaks and all that's going on out there, it's really, really helping. And tourism is a big thing. And the state's helping us with the tourism quite a bit right now. And we like that. That's the park, probably the new park is Meadow Creek Park, is probably the newest thing we got going right now as far as tourism, and we're getting a lot of people there.
How concerned are you about making sure the city is paying its employees what it needs to?
Oh, we take care of that. We take care of our city employees. We always have. They're paid well. They don't complain. We don't lose very many. Our people who leave is not great. Now, we've lost some people out of the police department that got a better job, maybe, and we had to hire some new people there. But as far as the city people, we've had the same people in the city as far as the roads and water and sewer. We've had the same people for a long time. So they're evidently happy with the money that they make. And they're pretty well paid.
Charles, if someone is stepping into their election precinct and casting their ballot, why should they vote for Charles Looper?
Experience. Experience is the best teacher. That's one of my mottos. I've been there and understand what's going on. And, you know, somebody just stepping in that has never been in there and doesn't know what the city does, it's tough. They have to learn. And there will be some new ones on the board, I guess. I don't know. There's some new people running for office, but, maybe the ones that's already on there will be reelected. I don't know. And the same way with me. I haven't a phone at all. So, you never know. Never know how people are going to vote. But I know that they know me. I was in school. I was a teacher for 37 years, and a lot of the people in Monterey were my students. So that's an advantage, I guess.
Charles Looper, one of the candidates in Ward 4, as we go to the polls August 1st. Charles, thank you for your service to the community, and thank you for spending some time with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Monterey Alderman, one of the seats that we're focused on Meet the Candidates, as we give you a chance to hear from the men and women who'd like to represent you. One of those candidates is Jamie Phillips in Ward 4 for Monterey. Jamie, thanks for spending some time with us, first of all.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Why did you decide to run?
Something I've thought about for many years. I've never lived inside the city limits until recently, and we were blessed enough to be able to build a home inside the city, and we decided we want to be a part of, you know, making decisions if possible and help lead the community forward. We've got a young child who we want to see grow up in that community, and we want to be the best we possibly can get for him.
In terms of your backgrounds, in terms of your interests, what do you bring to the table as a member of the Alderman?
I've lived in Monterey most all my life. I've lived in Cookeville for a few years, but lived in Monterey all my life. And I've got a background in healthcare. So healthcare, as we all know, it's a mess in itself. So learning how to navigate those type situations, I feel like it's given me a little bit of insight on how to navigate some parts of maybe city government like that. I don't know if there is a good relation, but, you know, just tackling those obstacles and trying to get through it.
What has your experience been like of putting your name out there?
I haven't done a lot of campaigning, I'll be honest. It's busy. Life is busy. So more of word of mouth, and I feel like the feedback's been positive from most everyone I've been able to speak with. But a lot of people, some people know me, but may not be as well known as others. So just like to get to know the constituents in my district, ward, and the entire city, actually.
What things are important to you in terms of priorities for the community? What things are you interested in trying to move forward?
Well, I'd like to see better, I think, transparency in our local government. I want to see maybe some our fiscal responsibility, a little more accountability with the finances and expenditures, things like that. Just make sure we're using our tax dollars and as wisely as we possibly can.
To that point, in your own personal life, in your work situations, how do you try to make decisions? One of the things that an alderman has to do is there are more needs and wants on one hand than there are money most of the time. How do you try to make decisions about those types of things?
Honestly, I feel like we just have to use common sense, but you really have to kind of weigh the benefits versus the cost. And realize that, as in any household, you only get so much money that you have to spend, and you've got to make sacrifices where it needs to be to prioritize what bills have to be paid and taken care of. So I think government would work the same way. I mean, we can't just go out and buy all these luxurious things, do all these little projects we want to do just because we want them. We got to be able to fund them. So I feel like that's it's the same way with at home.
Jamie Phillips is our guest as we meet the candidates. There is talk of growth in Putnam County, obviously, and Monterey is certainly part of that. How good is it to see the filling of the businesses in the downtown district?
It's very encouraging. We're seeing a lot of growth there. I do see a lot of – we've had different exhibits come in, different the Watermelon Crawl Festival, the Banana Pudding Festival was there. Had a great 4th of July, so kudos to the leaders that have helped organize those things. And we want to continue that. We want to see Monterey continue to grow just to be the best that it can be.
There seems to be a sense that the opening of the sewer plant, which is imminent, I mean, within weeks now we're talking about, you know, could really open some things up, especially at the I-40 exit, the first Monterey exit there. Do you see that as a potential place where maybe new retail opportunities, new restaurant opportunities might open up?
I would hope so. I know the sewer has been a big obstacle for us for many years and been a hindrance to businesses being able to move in that area. And hopefully that, you know, having this, and we can expand that. I mean, we had lots of, you know, people going out and talking with these businesses, and hopefully we can make that pay off and get some in there.
Sewer is not one of those glamorous things, but it's a reminder of some of the things that the aldermen work on that sometimes aren't glamorous, but are really important. How do you try to learn about that? Do you expect there's going to be a learning curve when you are elected?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. If I'm lucky enough to be elected, I know there's a lot of work to be done just to learn the ins and outs of our city government and everything that goes on, because we're not privy to all those things as just regular citizens. But I have tried to look into a lot of the things that I could during the campaign and even before. But, yeah, no, I look forward to that challenge if given the opportunity.
So, Jamie, modesty aside, here's your chance to talk to the voters. Why should they put you in office?
I think if they're looking for someone who's going to be honest and, you know, truthful, straightforward with them, and take care of their money and, you know, trust me with, you know, voting in the way that they want, you know, things voted properly, not just wastefully or, you know, just do it the right way. If that's what you're looking for, then, you know, I can do the job, and I give 100% to anything that I do. And anyone that knows me knows that I do that. And I strive for perfection in anything I do. So, but if they're just looking for someone who's looking to just go along with the status quo, that's probably not me, because I will question things that need to be questioned and not be afraid to stand up for them.
Jamie Phillips is one of the candidates for Monterey Alderman representing Ward 4. Jamie, thanks for the time.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
Tomorrow, White County voters will have the chance to cast their ballot for a decision on sales tax. Right now, the sales tax when you shop in White County is lower than it is when you shop in the city of Sparta. And yet, county residents are shopping in Sparta. That money is going to the city. County Commissioner Derek Hutching is our guest to explain what that means. Derek, thanks for spending some time with us.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with the basics. This is a resolution that would impact sales tax in the county outside of Sparta. Can you explain from there?
Yes, sir. So currently the tax rate in the city is 9.75, and the tax rate in the county is 9.25. Of that, the state keeps 7%, so it leaves the county in the city the 2.25 or the 2.75%. The city shares with the county half of all sales tax up to the matched amount, the 2.25. So currently the city is getting to keep that other half of a percent on the sales tax.
And so essentially, if you are someone who shops at, let's just say that you stop at Derek's gas station that's outside of Sparta, you're not paying as much sales tax as you would be at a store inside Sparta.
That is correct.
But that's also costing the county.
It is. And so in the city, we have about 5,000 citizens that live in the city, and then we've got about 28,000 citizens that live in the county. 65% of all of the sales tax that flows through White County is collected in the city, where only roughly 18% of the citizens live. So the county citizens are traveling to the city for the majority to spend their tax dollars, and they're not receiving the full benefit of that.
So you're going to buy groceries, you're going to buy school supplies, you're going to eat, all of those types of things, and the county is not getting the full benefit of your spend.
Correct. The difference in that half a cent in the city, they're collecting roughly $80,000 a month on that additional tax that they're getting to keep.
And this is money that you could use for the projects that need to be done in the county.
That's correct. If we increase to the other half a percent, then the city has to give us, the county, half of that, the collected money. So about $40,000 a month. In turn, you know, the tax is going to increase in the county. That's the increase to the citizens. That's about another $40,000 a month in revenue that would be collected in the county. So $85,000 a month additional revenue that the county would receive. And what we've been promoting is this money, we can get this money earmarked. We're going to put it in for our county employees' raises. That's what we're really pushing to do with this money. It's not just a tax because we want more money. It's we need to give our county employees raises, and that's what we're going to do with it.
And so, I mean, you're talking about roughly, give or take a dollar or a dime here, you're talking about another $1 million that could flow into the county.
That's correct.
Yeah. Talking to Derek Hutching, one of the White County commissioners, has this issue of the sales tax. It has been on the ballot before. And, Derek, one of the things that commissioners have talked about, along with Denny Wayne Robinson, is that people just see it on the ballot and they say, you know, do you want more tax? And the answer for all of us is no. But this,
correct,
this is one of those that just you got to kind of think through and explain to people, I guess.
You do. And like you mentioned, this is the third time that we've had it on the ballot trying to pass it. And each time we reach somebody new, we talk to somebody new that didn't understand. And the biggest takeaway from it is we're already paying the lion's share of this money into the city, and we're not receiving the full benefit of it. The county citizens are paying the money, and they're not receiving the benefit of the tax fully like they should be.
And again, that's because most of the sales tax expenditures are happening in the city of Sparta. That's where most of the retail business, for example, is happening.
Correct.
What do you say to people what do people say to you when they kind of understand what this issue really is about, and it's not just, oh, they want to add more taxes?
Well, a lot of the citizens, a lot of people tell me that they just assumed it was the same. They didn't even know that there was a difference. And, you know, there's people, obviously, that I spoke to that oppose it. I want the citizens to be able to make an educated decision. I want to fully explain the benefits of it, and it is a tax. There's additional cost to the county. But I want to make an educated decision, not just know because it's an additional tax. I want them to understand that they're already paying that tax in the city, and we're just trying to get our benefits of it by matching the rate in the city.
How important would those raises be to county employees and thus to the county overall, to the county's health?
So it would be a huge benefit. You know, we're talking, like you said, roughly $1 million. On average, 1% raise to our county employees is roughly $100,000 for 1%. I know me personally, I'm pushing for a 7% raise. If this sales tax passes, I'm pushing for a 7% raise for the county employees. We were only able to give them a 3% cost of living raise this year, and 3% is not enough. That's not a cost of living raise in this economy. Last year, we were only able to give them a 5%, and the year before that, they didn't even get a cost of living raise. So we're behind, and we're trying to play catch up because we've just not had the money to be able to fund it, and nobody wants property tax increases. And those are our two options, property tax increase And nobody wants that. Everybody's against that, including the commissioners. So this is sales tax is one of the most fair taxes that anybody can pay, because citizens that are people that travel through White County are also contributing to the sales tax. So it's just it's the best scenario to help the county and the county employees.
And cost of living increases are part of it, but there's also, Derek, just there's a competitiveness right now with salaries in everything from law enforcement to EMTs, ambulances, all of those types of things. The cost of doing business in those critical services that the county provides, it's just going up.
It is. You know, our ambulance service asked for two additional ambulances for their fleet this year and to add two additional shifts, because the call volume has gotten so high with all the new citizens moving in, they're not able to keep up. And we were able to fund one ambulance and one crew, but we still fell short. And the sheriff's department, you know, he's needing new vehicles. He needs new equipment. The fire, EMS, you know, they're needing new equipment. All of the costs have went up. Vehicle costs have went up. Ambulance costs have went up, you know, across the board. All of those fees have went up, and the county is still at the same tax rate for property and for sales tax. And our income has not gone up, but all of the expenses have increased that we incur.
Finally, Derek, and I don't want this to come across that it's anti-Sparta, because it's not anti-Sparta, but at the same time, is part of this understanding for county residents that you are essentially funding some of what Sparta wants to do when you could be funding things that the county wants to do, if you're a county resident?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's obviously the city. It's important to have a nice city and nice roads in the city. And the city's doing a lot of great work right now. We're not trying to take away from the city, because they're doing great things. They've got a new splash pad coming, and it's important to have nice parks and recreational things in the city for the citizens and nice roads. But the county also needs to share in the benefit of that. It needs to be mutual, you know, across the board. We need to work together with the city, and the county needs to work together for everybody, for all the citizens of White County.
Derek Hutching, County Commissioner, this item on the ballot as we head to the polls Thursday. Derek, thank you for educating us.
Thank you.
One of the races to watch in Overton County tomorrow in School Board District 2, where Melissa Savage and Wayne Taylor will go head-to-head. The other school board race is in District 5, featuring Jennifer Ledbetter and Ben Danner. When we head to the polls in Monterey, Ward 2, Mark Farley is one of the candidates asking for your vote as we get set for Election Day. Mark, you have been doing this a while. Why does it continue to interest you?
Well, I've been doing this ever since 2000, so I've got about 24 years in it. So just try to keep everything going, you know. It's some of them just don't realize what it takes to be on Alderman, you know. So, you know, it's just trying to do something good for the town, you know. So,
what is your approach? How do you try to educate yourself about all the various things that an alderman has to know about and has to make decisions about?
Well, you got to do a lot of reading up on it, you know. So, you know, try to do the best you can for the town, you know. It's not going to cost them a lot, you know. So that's the main thing. So.
That cost issue was certainly one that came to the forefront this year with the alderman having to make some very difficult decisions. Is that just part of growing as a community in your mind?
Yeah, it is. You know, you try to keep your employees. You know, you got to keep them happy, and then you got to keep people happy in town. So you've got to be able to keep up with the stuff that the town needs. You know, we've done a big project on streets and stuff, so that takes money, you know. Water takes money. Just everything goes back to the budget. You know, it takes a lot of money to run a town. More money than people think it does.
How much of a game changer is this sewer project?
This is going to be going to help the town a lot. You know, we've been under a moratorium for years, and once this, which we've got the new sewer plant back on, is online now. You know, it's just not running at full capacity yet. You know, so that should get us out under moratorium so we can put in new businesses and stuff. You know, tie on new lines and stuff. So that will help us a lot.
For the average person that doesn't understand, having that ability to put businesses, more residences on sewer, that really is the key to growth, isn't it?
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, we've had things, you know, we couldn't put on and couldn't get them, you know. It's just, you've got to have sewer if you're going to do it, you know, and that's the thing. You know, we couldn't put people on, you know, you had to go through the state on everything, you know. They look at you pretty hard when you try to put something on, you're under this moratorium, you know, so that's the thing. You've got to be able to satisfy the state and the county and everything else, you know, while you're doing things.
Ward 2 candidate Mark Farley for Monterey Alderman. Let's talk about another type of infrastructure, and that is parks and those types of facilities. Monterey is making a bit of a name for itself as a tourist destination. Is that something that's sustainable?
That's something we want to try to do. You know, we like to draw some people into town, you know. You never know. You might have a new business come out of it or whatever. You know, you never know. So you need to try to keep your bases open, you know, see what's going to come in or see who comes in, you know. So
has the city made a good use of grants and that sort of thing to try to fund some of that?
We have. We've got a lot of grants. We've got a good person in or, you know, on staff that's taking care of stuff like that. Mr. Rafferty, he's good on the park side and anything in town. He's one that I go to a lot on stuff, you know, if we need something. So,
Mark, as you've talked to voters, what are the things that they are concerned about as it relates to Monterey?
Well, some of them just wants more stuff done, you know, in town, you know, but you got to have the money to do it. And they just, most people need to come to a meeting and see what, you know, and see what kind of, what's going on in town. You know, some of them never comes into a meeting, never comes, talks to nobody, you know. They just need to come see how everything's running, you know, when on the board and stuff. So right now the board, I think, has been running real well the last 2 years, you know, so. But maybe we can keep them happy, you know, keep everybody happy. We try to keep the roads up and everything we can do about that, you know. So roads is the biggest thing people's concerned with, you know. So
I guess it's one of the challenges, and it's something you understand of being an alderman, that many times the people who are complaining that we need more services or we need this road paved or we need this mowed, they're the same ones that say, now don't you raise property taxes at the same time.
That's exactly how it happens. You know, they just don't realize what it costs to keep that part going. You know, you got stuff that breaks down years out. You know, it's not working no more. Then you have to spend money. You know, but that's what it takes. You know, you gotta work at it. Budget where you need to be budgeting. You know, so.
Finally, Mark, here's your platform. Why should people vote for you on August 1st?
Well, I hope they vote for me because I've been in it for so long, and I know pretty much what's going on. Because the first year or two you're in it, you really don't know. You're learning, you know, and that's 2 years you ought to been trying to figure out what you ought to be doing something, you know. So I've been at this now for 24 years. Surely I've got enough experience to stay in it, you know, I hope. But sooner or later, somebody's going to have to take it over, sooner or later, you know. But I'm not yet ready to give it up yet, so maybe they'll vote for me. So,
Mark Farley, one of the candidates asking for your vote as we head to the polls in days. Ward 2, Monterey Alderman. Mark, thank you for your service. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir.